We'll probably end up breaking the next section, I think, into two bits. So talk about a little bit before lunch and then carry on after lunch. The next discussion, I think, is a fairly important one, and I think...
The next issue is issue 4, and it starts at paragraph 35 of agenda paper 2. And that's on consideration of new and revised full IFRS when updating the IFRS for SMEs. We think it would be beneficial if we first had a discussion about the objective of the IFRS for SMEs and also how the ISB should approach changes to full IFRS in general when updating the IFRS for SMEs. And after we've had this more general discussion, it will be easier then to look at the individual standards. So we suggest we start by considering the objective of the standard. And the reason we suggest this is because responses to individual questions were influenced by the respondents' understanding of the purpose of the IFRS for SMEs and which entities it should cater. Staff have actually listed some of the different purposes of the IFRS for SMEs that were highlighted in comment letters in paragraph 43 of agenda paper 2. For example, some respondents say that the IFRS for SMEs should cater for subsidiaries that need to prepare information under full IFRS for consolidation purposes, or they say that it should cater for larger SMEs wanting comparability with listed entities, or that are using IFRS for SMEs as a stepping stone to maybe looking to use full IFRS in the future. Now, respondents that have that view generally want the IFRS for SMEs to be aligned with full IFRS, ideally without any time lag. However, on the other hand, some of the respondents believe that the main aim is for it to be a standalone standard tailored for the needs of smaller businesses and users of their financial statements. And the respondents are in that camp, obviously think that full alignment of full IFRS is less important, and also that it's more important to consider the implementation experience under full IFRS and check that those full IFRS are not likely to change further before introducing those requirements for SMEs. So the question we'd first like your feedback on today is, do you agree with staff that the main objective of the IFRS for SMEs should be to provide a standalone, simplified standard for small, medium-sized entities that do not have public accountability?
Frank?
Yes. it's what the market expects where I am. From all the users, they want nothing to do with full IFRS. They want a standalone standard. In fact, they want it simplified. I think the number of subsidiaries of listed companies who want alignment is a tiny proportion of the total number of SMEs. And I'd say the majority of the people using it from the perspective of our clients, they want simplification. They don't want any more complexities. They would like to see, for example, no OCI, no hedge accounting, no deferred tax, because they don't understand it and the banks don't understand it, and no new options. Yeah. That's generally what I'm seeing from the market.
Okay. Claudia?
Yes, well, actually, I do agree, because I think that, ideally speaking, the IFRS for SMEs should be updated with the new full IFRS, but in practice, it should not. So I think it should be stable and stay as simple as possible. So I don't want it to be updated on that, in that way. Thanks.
Speaking for the Norwegian standard set, I support Frank. Except for the deferred tax. In Norway, we're used to the deferred tax. And we want some more options, but we're coming to that on the later agenda point.
Yeah.
But a standalone standard, definitely.
Robin?
I agree with the philosophy of being a standalone standard, but at the same time, you have to recognise and be realistic that IFRS itself is going to influence IFRS for SMEs, and you know, good examples are, for instance, the new German commercial code. I'm told by my German friends has been influenced by full IFRS, because That's the major standard for listed companies, and that's where the debate is often there, and it tends to drip feed, a lot of people would argue, into local GAAP, and I suspect inevitably they're going to drip feed into IFRS to a certain extent, but I agree entirely with the argument about standalone.
And I guess it's quite important in the paper, when we talk about a standalone standard, that doesn't mean it doesn't follow IFRS. It simply sets the bar higher and says you don't automatically accept what's happening in IFRS,
sure,
but you would consider everything that comes through in IFRS. Okay, thank you.
Yes, as well with the majority there in terms of simple standalone standard and keeping it that way. I think my additional point is around, again, a change that's happening within the UK market, which we refer to as the RDF, the Reduced Disclosure Framework. So effectively, that is giving companies the options to use full IFRS in terms of measurement requirements, ease of consolidation, those type of issues, but effectively taking disclosure exemptions when you've got lots of subsidiaries in terms of the ease of the burden in relation to that. So I'm not saying I don't think it's in relation to changing the IFRS for SMEs. I think there is a need for something for groups of a different nature that isn't quite out there yet in terms of the burden of the paper for all of the disclosures, for probably in relation to reductions from full IFRS rather than leave the IFRS for SMEs as it is.
And a fair number of countries have actually done that, have started to do that, which is just limited. But what we're saying then, or what you're saying, is it's clearly two different things.
Yes. Well, I think I disagree, because I believe that the adopting the new IFRS into the SME standard doesn't make the SME standard necessarily more complex. Why should it? I mean, the IFRS has been changed for good reasons, I believe. I also think that if the SME standard would have been developed right now and not 5 years ago, I think we would have taken 10, 11, 12, 13, and so forth, instead of the old IFRS that are now gone. And talking on behalf of the global firm of PwC, we have tried to develop a policy if and how to adopt new standards, and our policy would be we should update IFRS for SMEs with new developments in full IFRS unless there is a good reason for not doing so. We've written that in our global comment letter, and I believe, of course I know it's a standalone standard, but what is the reason for drifting away? IFRS is going that way, IFRS for SMEs is going the other way. There's no good reason for that. We will end up with two completely different standards in 10 years' time.
Great.
Perfect.
I'd just like to comment on what Hugo said, because I think that's a very valid point, and I'm very with the majority of you that I think it is a standalone and shouldn't follow it. But I think what you say is very important, that we're not saying that, well, if we take 10, 11, 12, 13, we automatically not going to adopt them. What we're saying is, I think that we need to look at them, determine, are they correct? Maybe they're just principles we want to pull out and put into the SMEs. Maybe we want to throw it away completely. But I'm saying I just don't think that adoption should be automatic. I think that there should be a situation where we say, and it comes back to that mindset. Was it developed with that? And we may turn around and say, well, actually, we like the new definition of control, but there's certain things, other things in IFRS 10 we don't like. And I'm just saying, I think we should consider each of them bit by bit, but I wouldn't support automatic adoption.
So deliberately consider all of the changes.
Absolutely.
That come through, but not automatically implement them.
That's a good thing.
I would agree with this. So I would flip, as opposed to you say there should be a rebuttable assumption that it's we should not make consequential amendments. I would flip it the way I think we agreed. But of course, put every change to a test of whether it's not adding too much complication, whether it's maintaining some level of stability. So that's where judgment, that's where some, in some cases will be yes, in some cases will be no. I think the stability part is important, because let's not forget, it's this whole ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Are we facilitating the work of small and medium-sized enterprise preparers and auditors? And clearly changing the standards every 3 years, it seems to me, would not facilitate the work. So it's going to be, but I think we should consider all of the changes that are driven to the main standard are driven by the intent to improve the quality of financial reporting, to capture some new trends, and put them to a test.
First of all, we're in complete agreement with the fact that the first step before considering any further issue on this is to confirm that the objective is to have a standalone document that serves its purpose as defined in the best way possible. So we, in effect, also support the idea that if there is good reasons, if there are good reasons for him, considering subsidiaries of listed companies separately should be done separately from the IFRS for SMEs and not try with this standard to meet too many goals at the same time. As to when IFRS for SMEs should change, we put the emphasis on the fact that there should be evidence that the change is necessary. So that probably some form of post-implementation review could be helpful in identifying what works and what works not as well. Also that before you would introduce reflect new IFRSs into the IFRS for SMEs, you would want to have the post-implementation review in full IFRS conducted before you do, unless a particular need has arisen in between that calls for change, and we know that this kind of difficulty is indeed alleviated in the revised IFRS. And maybe to respond to Ugo's argument that if we were starting as of today, we would start with the full set as it is. I think in the IFRS for SMEs, if I take only the example of the amortization of goodwill, we found good reasons for not reflecting the revised IFRS right. or IFRS 3 altogether, by the way, on this account. So there is no systematic conclusion to derive from there, I would think. And it's just an example.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to support what Bruce and Hugo said, which is basically the importance of considering. I think the link needs to be maintained, but we need to consider the complexity and the necessity of actually incorporating it. But it should, that review should be done, so that because again, we need to remember that the SMEs of today, really the economic evidence shows the SMEs today are the big companies of tomorrow, right? So as far as I'm concerned, we shouldn't lose that link completely. If there's a major divergence, then actually that is a disservice. So over time. And let's remember that the IFRS references came out in 2009. The first set of changes are going to be in 2015, 6 years after. And if you allow for the post-implementation review requirements, actually some changes won't come for 12 years. So I think that's enough of a time lag to allow the SME users to get ready for whatever changes we think are in their best interest to come through. I think that's fine. But we must maintain that fundamental link, given the criteria that have been proposed by Bruce and by Hugo, which I think are sensible criteria, in terms of we don't want anything complex or necessarily complex coming through, and anything that imposes undue cost or the burden on preparers.
Which again supports the principle of considering everything, but considering it, nothing going automatic, and considering it from the perspective of, is this an improvement for SME accounting as opposed to broader.
Yes. But just one comment that you made there. The only thing I would say is you made a comment that could be a disservice not to link. I'm saying that after consideration, we could very well get to the decision that we don't adopt it. So we could look at IFRS 13 and say, no ways are we going that route, or IFRS 10 or whatever. And that I'm saying we should definitely anticipate there can very well be a divergence of these standards.
We would be needing, in the way you said it, we would need to make the decision based on whether it is an improvement to the SME standard. In the context of what we think the SME standard should be setting out to achieve. And I think most people seem to say the same thing. That means that we will consider it, but if it's too big a deal or if it doesn't actually improve it, we won't do it.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that I agree with the majority of the group that we should not provide some modification right now because of these improvements that we have with the new IFRS for full adoption. One point that I would like to call to the attention is that the IFRS for SMEs was launched in 2009, and most of the countries that are already adopting it had a transition period, let's say 2, 3, 4 years, and is very recent adoption. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of companies, countries didn't adopt it till now. Then, it's too early to know exactly how many companies are adopting, are experiencing the adoption of IFRS for SMEs. I think that, unfortunately, is a very small portion of the total of companies that should be covered by these requirements. And we prepared an exercise some months ago, and comparing the quality of the financial statements for companies that are adopting entirely these requirements with those listed companies 10 years ago. Make a comparison with the financial statements prepared following exactly these patterns with those companies, comparing with the financial statements prepared for those companies, listed companies 10 years ago. And you can see an enormous quality improvement following this one in comparison with, let's say, the full adoption. It's not right to say it this way, but the accounting principles that we have right now are tremendously better quality in comparison with those ones. Then, if you see the situation by this side, it means that we had effectively a tremendous improvement of the quality of the financial statements. Then, it is true. It is true in an overall way. Then, I think that in favor of the stability, like several of one mentioned, we should keep for 1, 2, 3 years more, and all the efforts should be to extend the number of the companies that should adopt these new patterns. Okay? I think that we could get a tremendous goal if we get success in improving the use of this one, because the quality is tremendously better than compared with 10 years ago.
Thank you. Frank?
But the vast majority of SMEs are never going to migrate to full IFRS. I think the current system, where we have a periodic review of IFRS for SMEs, is fine. There shouldn't be an ongoing review of full IFRS for changes. But in the context of the periodic review, I think if there is a change in IFRS whereby we can simplify or clarify the IFRS for SMEs document, and also in instances where we feel the change to full IFRS better meets the users of IFRS for SMEs, and it has been successfully implemented by the users of full IFRS, then I think there are reasonable grounds for bringing it in.
So if you started out, I think, by saying that you would actually be more comfortable than perhaps others around the table if the two diverged.
Absolutely, yes.
And
they are two different markets,
mm-hmm.
two different sets of needs, and the vast majority of IFRS for SME users are never going to migrate to public accountability.
I think that's actually a fair comment. Almost everybody who does migrate might have come from small to big.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that everybody who's small is going to be this true.
That's right, yes.
Frank, would you then use new IFRSs as a starting point for deciding whether to take something onto the agenda for IFRS for SMEs? or not even that? Do you think we should have a separate agenda-setting approach?
I think a separate agenda.
Okay.
I mean, you do have now, well, I'm not quite sure the status of it, your due process handbook, which talks about monitoring effect studies and things such as that, and I assume that that should apply to IFRS for SMEs just as well as IFRS as two separate exercises, it seems to me. I mean, it's very important that I think to do that at the IFRS for SME stage, because simply we know very little about them vis-a-vis listed companies. The amount of publicity, the scrutiny of listed companies is just that much greater than these small ones, and there's cultural differences that's been explained today, for instance, by people. So my view is that I think you should have a separate due process for IFRS for SMEs.
I think certainly it would be right to say that we need to get information on our future program for IFRS for SMEs from several sources.
Yeah.
One of those sources is the users of the standard, but another source, generally speaking, would be what's happening with big IFRS, because that may talk to the general trend.
Yeah. But I think very importantly, one of the other groups that we should be seeking, as some of the members around here are, is the SMPs themselves. Because I think, reference in this document, you talk about SMEs examining particular aspects or considering. In a lot of situations, they're just incapable. They're not interested in the accounting issues. So they're very, very much reliant on the small, medium practitioner. So I think that's a very important source of looking to see if IFRS for SMEs is actually working, should there be any changes, and so forth. I think that source is we should seek more information from. I mean, particularly because SMPs also have very, very different needs from large practices. I mean, with all due respect, Hugo, PwC and as a very small SMP are very different in nature, and their needs are different from their perspective. So that's why I think we should, and the SMPs are arguably the main providers of preparation of accounts for the small practices. So I think that a lot of work should be done with the SMP.
Yeah, I'm just interesting. I was going to completely agree. I mean, I think Robin's got a very good point just outside of what I was going to say, that maybe what we're doing is we're trying to allow the agenda for big IFRS to drive the agenda for SMEs, and I think it's a very valid point that maybe there is a different process around that. The other thing I was also going to say was, you know, in our jurisdiction, we adopted the SME standard almost the day it was issued. It was, in South Africa. One of the big selling points of it has been that it hasn't changed. And I just don't want us to get to a state of changing for the sake of changing. So, you know, it's interesting that the meeting today, if you think about it, one of the key things that we really should have started saying is, do we all think that there's a need for change? But we kind of dive straight into it. And I accept that given the comments here, the answer is obvious. But, you know, that's the kind of thing I'm saying is we've just got to be careful that because we can't sit and say in 3 years' time, well, hang on, because we've issued 10, in 3 years, hopefully 10 IFRS standards, we need to then relook at the SMEs. And I just think we've got to be very careful. The message we've given is stability, simplicity. On the other side of that, the only place I will tell you where it can create confusion, I think, in the market, and I accept that they are separate standards, but the only danger is that where the ISB has looked at something and said, well, actually, we think the wording in IFRS, if we look at it, and the same words are used like control and things like that, are completely different. The big IFRS has been through a due process, it's been through changes that have happened because maybe there is a bit of practice, and I'd just be cautious of saying, well, we're not going to look at it at all. And that's why I'm saying I think maybe Robin's solution is best, that there is a separate due process around what we change the standard.
It sounds like what we're saying then is a build-up of sources,
yeah.
So the SMPs, the SMEs themselves, any other commentary or studies or information that we get about the way the standard is being applied in practice builds up to. But we don't ignore big IFRS, and I guess the big reason for it is that because they were based on the same starting point, to the extent that an improvement has been identified in full IFRS, one would argue that improvement is at least is at least worth considering in IFRS for SMEs.
Absolutely. I mean,
and then there's those touch points.
Yeah. I mean, the two examples are, we can discuss later, the IS-12. I mean, I think we all agree that that change has been fantastic around investment properties, whereas the project on macro hedging is so irrelevant in this market. Question was relevant to the big market, but still, you know, I'm saying it's so relevant to this market, I don't think anybody around this table would say we need to do a project for SMEs on macro hedging. So I'm saying I really do think that you know, it's important to note, but I think it's also important to be able to turn around comfortably and say we're not going to address it at this level.
I think, yeah, I totally agree with what, you know, what Robin said, and definitely, but I would like to stress that we should keep the credibility of the IFRS for SMEs by ensuring that there is that sort of link between the due process in the full IFRS and the IFRS for SMEs. Definitely, we will be looking forward as practitioner actually in the emerging market to see how the standard themselves has been evolving outside of the sphere of the full IFRS. Because so far, we really are lagging behind, you know, the IFRS in terms of changes. But I think there is so many potentially technical areas that might emerge from the application and adoptions of the IFRS for SMEs, and that what should be captured and identified as a standalone that will keep, you know, what will make the notion of a standalone standard with the credibility of the full IFRS. Yeah.
I think it's credibility, I think, is important to mention, but in terms of the stability factor is basically to accommodate the constraints that SMEs are facing, but and SMPs. But I think that could be counterbalanced by the benefit of having a more consistent, you know, set of criteria and concepts practiced across the economy, across the profession. So if there has been an improvement in the full IFRS and we still have the SME standard lagging behind and using the quote-unquote outdated standard, that might be, in fact, imposing more of a burden. So I think in some cases there will be more of a benefit to aligning the SME standard, drawing on the improvements that are brought about in the full standards. In other cases, maybe not, and that will depend on the specifics of the type of transactions. Certainly, financial instruments. We know that the SME standard followed a very different route from the outset, so it will not be a surprise that we're not going to consider micro hedging as part of these changes. But I think the practicality is also, I think, you know, change sometimes can bring about some. You know, something more practicable for the whole range of practitioners, especially in the medium-sized practices. You know, these operate across the PIEs and SMEs type of industry of entities.
If I can kind of summarize at that point, Frank, do you want to get in first?
Sorry?
Do you want to get in first?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
If I can summarize, then I think where we are and keeping half an eye on the lunch. On impending lunch, broad support support across the board for SME standard as a standalone, separate set of financial standards that stands completely separate from the main IFRS. The agenda for changes, for consideration of changes to IFRS for SMEs, should be driven by what's happening in practice for SMEs and for SME practitioners, mm-hmm. with an eye on what is happening in IFRS. So that particularly improvements in IFRS can be brought into the standard for SMEs, but those improvements should be considered with a view to whether or not they improve the IFRS for SMEs themselves.
Yeah.
And I think we can probably stop there.
Yeah.
Is lunch in the kitchen?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Cool. Thanks.
We'll carry on with this one straight after lunch. If anybody's listening in, we will resume at 1:15.
Yeah.